We shall see the king someday. I didn't ask Clay to lead that, but you look at the words, after pain and anguish, after toil and care, we'll see the king someday. You know, life's hard. And sometimes it gets difficult, and we get burdened down with life, and some things are difficult for us to bear. So I want to talk about this morning overcoming trials and overcoming difficulties. And we can take comfort in the fact that there have been others who suffered trials and difficulties and overcome. In 1 Samuel chapter 18 through chapters 24, David had to flee from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. Not because David was some kind of physical threat to Saul, but because he threatened his power as king, and Saul wanted to get rid of him. In Acts chapter 8, the first four verses, we read where the Christians in Jerusalem were so persecuted that they had to flee for their lives. And they were scattered abroad. But they didn't let that get them down, because what did they do? They went everywhere preaching the gospel. We could talk about Hosea, who God told to marry a harlot to signify the unfaithfulness of Israel to God. And he lost her back into the world. We could talk about Ezekiel, who lost his wife while he was prophesying for God. And all those who gave their lives in the service of serving God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 32, rather, through 38, outline for us those who gave their lives. But verse 39 says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They gave their lives in serving God, but they hadn't received the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. But I want us to look at another man who overcame trials and difficulties. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we'll be looking at verses 3 through 18. Elijah, the Tishbite, prophesied during the days of Ahab of Israel and Jehoshaphat of Judah. And he had slain the priest of Baal. And Jezebel, Ahab's wife, send him a message that by this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like them. In other words, you're going to be dead. You're going to be slain. And Elijah fled. He was in the north, Mount Carmel, Jezreel, and he fled all the way to Beersheba in the southern part of the land of Israel. And he left his servant there. And he traveled another day's journey. And he sat down under a juniper tree. And he said, oh Lord, it's enough. Take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. And he lay down and he went to sleep. And an angel of the Lord struck him and said, get up and eat. And he woke, and there's hot bread and there's water. And he ate and he drank and he lay back down and he went to sleep again. And an angel appeared to him again and said, get up and eat, the journey's too great for you. And he ate and he drank. And 40 days and 40 nights he traveled down to Mount Horeb, which is Sinai. And he went in a cave. And we're told the word of the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah said, well, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, go and stand on the mount of the Lord before the Lord. And we're told in the text that the Lord passed by, and there was a great wind, and the rocks of the mountain were rent, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And there was a great earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And there was a great fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then there came a small, still voice, and it said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah repeated, I'm very jealous for the Lord, but Israel's left you, and they've thrown down your altars, and they've killed your prophets. And I, even I alone, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And God said, go back. Return, but return by the way of Damascus. And anoint Hazael, the king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael, so shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. But I have left me 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed their knees to Baal. So there's 6 points that I think we can see in this lesson that we need to make. Number one, Elijah was afraid for his life, and he ran away. He fled. And he was so discouraged that he was in despair of his life, and he wanted to die because he thought things were worse than they were. But God was in control. And he didn't know everything about the situation. God is the only one who knew. And he discovered that he was not alone. And God gave him purpose and hope. So those are the things we want to talk about just very briefly this morning. But Elijah was afraid for his life and he ran away. He fled. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to do. So he ran away. But even when he was giving into his fear and he was doing not what God wanted him to do, what did God do? He took care of him. He sent an angel. He didn't stop him and say, stop, go back, when he was in Beersheba. He let him do what Elijah wanted to do. But he took care of him during that period of time. And that fear caused him to be discouraged, so discouraged that he was in despair of his life. He wanted to die. He's not the only one that becomes discouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 that he was so discouraged that he despaired of life. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength in so much that we despaired even of life. But what does he say in verse 9 and 10? But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, which delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. So where do we turn when we are in despair? Where do we turn when we are in discouragement? Well, we turn to the Lord. The Lord that Paul trusted in, not in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. And if God has the power to raise the dead, does he not have the power to help us in times of trouble? That was a lesson that Elijah needed to learn. But then Elijah thought that things were worse than they really were, because he didn't know everything about the situation. God is the only one who knew it all. We don't always have the answers. We don't always know everything about a situation. So Elijah thought things were worse than they were. But I'd like for you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 17 through 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Habakkuk says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall not yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places." So there might not be any crops in the field. There might not be any flocks in the field. There might not be any cattle in the stall. But yet I will rejoice in the Lord, who is the joy and the God of my salvation, because he is my strength. But Elijah then thought that he was alone. Everybody else is gone, and even I alone am left, and they want to kill me because they seek my life. So it was him against the world. He was the only one left. Do you ever feel that way? Sometimes we may think that we're alone when we're not alone. Sometimes it's easy to withdraw within ourselves and think that we are alone and actually even maybe shut everybody out. But Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, Jesus says, "I will never what? I will never leave you nor forsake you." Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 says the same thing. "Be strong. Be of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." What we need to realize is we're not alone. When I look out this morning, I realize I'm not alone, because I see my brothers and I see my sisters who love each other, who love this congregation. And we're striving together in unity to do what God would have us to do, because one day we want to go to heaven and we want to be with the Lord. But the last point is that God gave Elijah purpose and God gave Elijah hope. Hope that things were going to change. The ones that Hazael didn't kill, Jehu would kill. The ones that Jehu didn't kill, Elisha would kill. And there were 7,000 that had not bowed their knees to Baal. This gave him hope. But it also gave him purpose, because God wasn't through with him. God had work for him to do. And that work was to go back and to anoint Hazael, king of Syria, and to anoint Jehu, king of Israel, to anoint Elisha to take his place and do the work that God had given him to do. And just as God gave Elijah a commandment and work to do, he's given us work to do. And he also gave him hope, just like he gives us hope. And nothing can take that hope away from us. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39 tell us that. "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can take that away from us. All we have to do is hang on to it and never let anyone or anything separate us from it. Discouragement is one of the greatest trials that we as Christians sometimes bear. And it's easy to be discouraged. We go through illnesses, our nation is in turmoil, and all these things happen. But when we have discouragement, we draw upon the Lord. We draw upon each other. And we gain strength. God doesn't want us to be discouraged. He says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, to not be weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 through 13 tells us to lift up the hands and strengthen the feeble knees, because lest the lame be turned out of the way, but let it be healed. So we have to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, so to say, and strengthen our hands and strengthen our feeble knees. God is saying, stand up straight and do the things that I would have you to do, because the lame is turned out of the way. We have to be strong. We have to have courage. We have to be encouraged. So how do we do that? Well, we realize that difficult times are going to come. And things are going to come that are discouraging. That life is full of changes. And when hard times come, it's a test of our faith. And how we deal with those things is a testament of our faith. We can become withdrawn. We can become embittered. We can let our faith grow weak and fall away. Or we can overcome and do what God would have us to do. And you know, we need to realize where discouragement comes from. We're familiar with 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where the devil, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking those whom he may devour. But we don't read verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're not the only ones that have ever suffered disappointment and discouragement. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you had suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. The devil's the great deceiver. He's the great divider. He's the great destroyer. But Peter says, after we have suffered a while, doesn't say we're not going to suffer. After we have suffered a while, he will make you perfect, establish and strengthen and settle you. Discouragement seeks to control us, to destroy us. And if we submit to it, we're submitting to the devil. And he's happy with us. So we can't let our fears, we can't let our emotions control us and keep, but we have to keep our faith. And we have to keep our faith in God. We have to keep our faith in one another. As Proverbs 4 chapter and verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But we also need to count our blessings. You know, we're truly blessed. Sometimes we look at the negative and we forget to look at the positive. Sometimes things look very dark and very cloudy, but God takes care of us. And he tells us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We may leave him, but he'll never leave us. He will never forsake us. We need to count our blessings. And we need to pray. We need to pray to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need to pray. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for whatever our discouragement may be. And pray that whatever happens, that our will is the Lord's will. And we need to be busy. We need to be busy in the work of the Lord. You know, if we're busy in the work of the Lord, we're not going to have much time to be discouraged. We'll grow in strength and knowledge, and we'll be an encouragement instead of a discouragement. And we need to encourage one another. It's hard to be discouraged when you're encouraging each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to help each other. We need to draw closer together in love and in unity. And when problems arise, we deal with those problems as God would have us to do. So let us not be discouraged, nor be a discourager. But let us rather be encouraged, knowing that God is in control. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Paul tells the Philippians, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there is any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." One chapter back in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize and the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." If we're busy doing the will of the Lord, we won't have time to be discouraged. If we're looking at the good of others, we won't have time to be discouraged. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God in heaven, as we humble ourselves in thy presence, it's easy for us to draw inward, to look at things in a negative way, and to be discouraged, and to think things that are against thy will, and to do things that are against thy will. And we pray, Father, that we will never be discouraged, that we will never let the devil win. But when we have trials and difficulties, and we have discouragements in our lives, that we will look to you, knowing that others have suffered far greater than anything that we have ever suffered in our lives. And help us to be encouraged, knowing that one day all these trials, all these suffering will be past, And we look toward that home with you in heaven, where there is no more tears, there is no more sadness, there is no more crying. But gathering around thy throne to worship and praise thee, our Creator, the sustainer of our lives, the one who blesses us so greatly. Continue to be with us as a congregation of thy people. Bless us. Help us to be an encouragement to each other and to do the things that you would have us to do. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen. Psalm 145 and verse 18 says, God is near to those who call on Him in truth. God is there. He's there for us in whatever happens. But the Word tells us if we're to call on the Lord, we need to be children of God. There may be someone here this morning that needs to obey the gospel, who knows what they need to do, and they believe what they need to do, and they're willing to repent and turn from their sins, confess Christ as their Savior, and be baptized for remission of their sins. Live faithful to the Lord and go home to heaven when they die. There may be someone here this morning that needs to make correction in their lives. Would you do that even this morning? Do it as we stand and sing.